thank the Lord today for His faithfulness. You to pray for me and with me as I share with you the Word of God. Alright, we'll change this battery just to make sure. How about that? My wife is getting on to me because she's going to change it anyway, and I said, I think it's okay. Husbands, listen to your wives. Alright, I think that's better. Next time she tells me that, I'm going to listen to her. Alright, we want to turn, if you will, with us to Psalms, the 27th chapter. I want to read some of the Word of God to you. Psalms 27, we want to start at verse 1. I'm going to give a title to this lesson. It would be, One Thing Have I Desired, or A Focused Desire. What we want to talk about today is a focused desire. And the psalmist had a focused desire on the Lord. So let's start at verse 1. If someone has it, you can read it for us. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light, and He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Sometimes I wonder if the psalmist is saying this for his encouragement. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. Well, you know, maybe there's something that you're facing that seems like it would be a fearful. But you have to remind yourself that the Lord is your strength. The Lord is the one that's on your right hand. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Most of us, when we were children, we were afraid of the dark, right? We don't have to be afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of the dark because it's something about it. We don't know what's there. There could be something hiding under the bed or in the closet, we used to think. But when the light is on, we understand that there's nothing there, don't we? So he says, when we take the light of the Lord with us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I don't have anything to fear. I don't have to fear what the devil can do. I don't have to fear what folks will say. I don't have to fear what will come that I'm not prepared for. The Lord is my light, and He's going to save me out of this situation. Whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances is, God has the ability to bring you out of that. I don't have to fear about that, do I? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. I saw some of the things that the Lord did, is what the psalmist is saying. I saw some of the things that the Lord did for me. Even when those that were against me came up and they wanted to do me harm, God was right there. He thwarted their plans. They weren't able to do the things that they want to do. So I know I have some history with me. All of us have history that the Lord will take you through the problems and the situations of your life if you will trust Him. All right? Though an host should encamp against me, I don't care what's going to happen to me. My heart shall not fear. I will not be afraid. Maybe it looks like it's a looming giant. Maybe it looks like there are a lot of things that are going on around me, and that maybe other folks are wondering why I'm so peaceful about it, because I know the Lord is going to see me through. All right? The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. I'm going to be confident in this thing. And one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, I want us to concentrate for a moment on this fourth verse of this passage of Scripture. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that is what I'm going to seek after. It doesn't matter all the things that are happening around me. It doesn't matter what might come. It doesn't matter what already has come and what already has kind of maybe thrown things out of kilter in my life. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I'm focused. I have a focused desire that I've got to make heaven. One of the things that you and I, all of us, I believe every person in this building wants to make it to heaven. And one of the things that I want to say, we have to have a determined focus in our mind. If we're going to make it, we have to be so determined that nothing else, the wars, though they should encamp about me, my enemies should encamp about me, that is not what I'm going to focus on. That is not going to be my greatest concern. Am I to be concerned about it? Yes, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to give it to the Lord. But the main thing is, I've got to keep myself right. You know, you understand what I'm saying? We're not going to have a big group of enemies that are going to come and encircle us. Sometimes our enemies are those that were once our friends. Have you been in situations like that? Sometimes our enemies are those that shouldn't be our enemies. And they're all around us. And that there's no reason for them to hate me like they hate me, or whatever you want to say. There's no reason for them to have the kind of feelings about you that they have about you, but they do. But you're not going to focus on that. Your desire is to keep a right spirit and a right attitude. It doesn't matter what those folks do. God didn't save you for folks to treat you right. He saved you to treat folks right. Your enemies, you've got to love them. And so my focus is not going to be on what the folks around me is doing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what my main focus is on. I want to live with the Lord. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. I want to be the kind of man or the woman that God wants you to be. You've got to be what God wants you to be. That's what you're focused on. All right, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Do you realize that we can dwell with the Lord right here on this side of eternity? It's not just when we go to heaven. It's not just when we get on the other side. But we can have the peace when we're going through the problems of life. And there's no one here that doesn't have problems. Anybody here don't have any problems? I want to see your hand. You don't have any problems. Well, if you were to raise your hand, I'll say by the end of the day, you're going to have some problems. But the Lord will take you through them. What you have to do, saints, what you have to do, folks, is keep your desire so focused on the Lord that nothing will deter you. All right? All right. Have you ever thought about how we focus our vision? Do you realize it's really only possible to focus on one thing at a time? Now, we have a lot of folks that are multitaskers. I am not one. You want to mess something up, have me doing two and three things at one time. I might get by with two. I can't do three. I guarantee it. But you want me to do something well, give me one thing to focus on. And once I got that done, now I set that aside and I can go and focus on something else. But when we look at it in the natural sense, we really can only focus on one thing and do it well at a time. One thing at a time. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when we focus our attention, if I were to focus on anything, if you were to focus on the pulpit here, and you were to put your eyes on it, you can see everything that is around it, but your main focus, everything else, is a little blurry or it's not in the major focus of what you're looking at. Well, in the same way, I'm not saying that the only thing that we go around every day and all we think about is God, 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 and not that that's a bad thing. But I understand we have work to do. We have things that we have to accomplish on a day-to-day basis. But the main objective in our lives, the central theme of our life, and everything that is converging to that is that there is one thing that I've desired of the Lord. I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to live right on this side of heaven in order to get on the other side. And so the focus that I have, all of my attention, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at play, whether I am just piddling around the house doing something, in the back of my mind, my main theme, the central theme of my life, the central theme of your life should be, I've desired one thing of the Lord. I'm not just a Christian. I'm not just saved, getting saved today because I want my life to get better. You know, I know people that are like that, right? They go through problems. And those problems, they realize, you know, somebody talks to them about how God is able to do work out your problems. And those people come and they bow at an altar, prayer, find some place, they talk to the Lord, and they give their hearts to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. God can help you, and God will help you through all of your problems. He is the solution to your problem. Whatever your issue is, He is the solution. Whatever the problem is that you seem to be stumbling with and bumbling with and seem like not, you're not able to get over, God is the answer to your problem. And so what He teaches you is He teaches you to trust Him more, to yield more to Him. Whatever the ailment is, whatever the problem is, God can help you through it. We were learning a little bit in Sunday school today how anything that you're going through is written right here. The problem is here and the solution is here. There are promises in the Word of God that whatever it is that you're going through, whether you need a healing of the soul, you need to be saved, maybe a sin-sick soul, do you know? The solution is Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you. Whether you need healing of the mind, maybe you have the enemy is fighting your mind. You know, you have a whole lot of folks nowadays that have Alzheimer's and whatnot. And do you know the Lord can heal a person's mind just like He heals a person's body? Do you realize that there are a lot of people that are having mental issues because of the stress? I don't know that we were created to deal with as much stress as we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. We're having to deal with all kinds of things day-to-day, and we're being bombarded with that. And do you know a person that is of a weak mental constitution, do you know the enemy beats them down? But let me tell you, there is hope in Jesus Christ. The Lord has the ability to lift you up and hold you up there. All right? Whatever your problem is, He is the solution. Physical healing, He's the solution. Physical, whatever it is, the Lord is the solution to it. All right? So, what the psalmist is saying here, despite all the distractions, despite all the problems that I'm encountered, I'm dealing with enemies that have encamped about me, my heart, I'm not going to fear about it. I'm dealing with things that may be a little bit frightening. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm not going to focus on tomorrow because I'm just going to take it one day at a time. Because I believe that God can take me through today. And if God can take me through the day, then that's all I need to worry about right now is what God is able to do, what I need God to do right now. All right, now I want to go to James, the first chapter, 17th verse, and I want to read kind of some background info here. First chapter, 17th verse. If you have it, read it for us, please.
Every good gift
is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So it says every good gift, everything that you need. We're in the mood right now to go. Some of y'all are going to go Christmas shopping after this service, aren't you? Don't raise your hand. I already know it. It's the weekend. They're running the sales this weekend, and you're going to go get some good gifts, right? But you know what? There's a gift that's much better than that. That is the gift, really the gift of the Word. That's a good gift. That every promise, the gift that God has given us of whatever it is that I need, He's already gifted it to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all I have to do is get it. You know what? If somebody called you up and said, listen, I've got a really expensive Christmas gift, but I can't bring it over. Can you come pick it up? How many of us would say, no, I don't want it? We would go and do whatever it takes to go and pick it up and bring it to it. Oh, would some folks say, somebody was telling me about Oprah bought some folks some cars. Remember that? And then somebody was complaining about her not paying the taxes. Y'all remember that? Oh, y'all remember that, right? All right, so they didn't complain. Well, give it back to her. You can't pay the taxes for it. Give it back to her. But most of us would accept it. We don't complain about good gifts, even if we have to do something to obtain them, right? And so in the same way, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness. I want to talk for a moment about in whom is no variableness. But what I'm saying is, the Lord has already gifted us whatever it is that you need, but there are going to be some conditions that you and I must meet in order for us to get what God has for us. We got to go find a place of repentance. We got to go ask the Lord, Lord, would you have mercy on me and help me here? Would you bless me in these promises that you've given me? Would you do these things for me? All right? It says, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Something that varies is something that changes. And in God, the scripture says in one place, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. Nothing changes about the Lord. All right? So in whom is no varying or no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When the Lord has said something and laid it down in His Word, you can rest assured that He's going to do that. If He said that He would not leave you nor forsake you, no matter how hard the battle got, then you can just rest assured that He's going to be true to His Word. Now, you or I may have to make adjustment. I did the best that I could. You may have done the best that you could, and you had every intention of staying there, but you just couldn't do it. And we have to excuse one another for that, don't we? But we're not God. And so when we come to that understanding that God doesn't change, if He says that He's able to do it, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, there's no varying in Him where I couldn't do this because it was too big for me. In whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So one thing, the reason that I want us to get a hold of this, in another place in the Scripture, I believe in Malachi, where He speaks about, He says, I am the Lord, I don't change. Now, what is easy for us to do is to face our focus and our desire on something that doesn't move, right? It's much easier for us to focus and have a focused desire on something that we can trust, and this is why we can trust Him, because we know that He's going to be the same tomorrow as He was today, as He is today, and as He was yesterday. So this one thing I can desire of the Lord because I can trust the Lord for, because I know He's not gonna change. He's not gonna vary. This varies. Well, He might do it for you, but if it's a good day and He's in a good mood, He might do it for me. That's not how it works, is it? We all vary. Our emotions and our moods vary. And on any given day, you might get something from us that I'm saying people in general. I'm not using myself necessarily. But people in general, you might get something from them today, but tomorrow they might be in a bad mood. They vary. Situations vary. God isn't like that. You can trust Him. You can trust Him to see you through whatever the situation is that you're going through right now. All right? If you need to be saved today, you can trust God for salvation. All right? All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, and start at the 38th verse. Luke 10, verse 38. Pray for us. Came to pass as they went. He went into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now this is Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, have you ever... I grew up in a big family. Yeah, most of you know that. And I have a brother that was right above us, right above me, not quite 2 years older than I am, and we did everything together. And I had sisters that were together. And you know what, you're here in a situation, and my brother, let's just take this for instance, my brother is over there, sitting down, talking to somebody, and I'm doing all the work. How do you think that's going to, how that's going to go off? It's not going to go off very well, is it? And most of us would want mom, dad, make them help, come and help me. I'm over here doing all this work by myself, make them come and help. And no doubt this is what Mary and Martha have done, all the work together and whatnot, and now she's cumbered about in the kitchen cooking, and there's nothing wrong with that, is it? She's in the kitchen cooking, getting everything ready for the Lord, and then Mary's sitting down listening to Jesus. All right, read what it says. Jesus answered and said, now Martha thought that the Lord was going to reprove Mary. Mary, get up and go help her in that kitchen. That ain't what He said, is it? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here is what the Lord is saying to her. He said, now, I want you to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Mary had a focused desire that I want everything. While I got Jesus with me, I want to get everything that I possibly can from Him. So she's going to stand at His feet, and she's going to listen to every word that comes out of His mouth. Now Martha was doing something, and I can't say that what Martha was doing was wrong. Jesus had to eat at some point, and she was so consumed with the works, good works and whatnot, that she was concerned that somebody should be in here helping me do this, because Lord, I'm really doing it for You. This is why I want You to tell Mary to come and help me prepare everything for You. But he said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with all of these things. I didn't ask you for all of that. I didn't say I wanted you to run around and do all these things. Mary, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Do you know when you have the opportunity to be at the feet of Jesus, do you realize that you should take that opportunity? Sometimes we're so encumbered with doing good things that we don't take time to be alone with the Lord, and we need to do that. In order to keep our spiritual life in the way that God wants it to be, we need to take some time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what He has to say. Do you know what we do? We rush off to work, and we don't spend the time that we need to spend speaking to the Lord and talking to Him about the things that I might face today and hearing what He has to say. Do you realize sometimes you wouldn't get in as much trouble during the day if you spent more time with the Lord? But you're cumbered about, and I can't say, don't go to work, stay at home all day and read your scriptures and sit at the feet. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that there is a time for you to do that. There is a time for you to spend with the Lord, to know, so the Lord, you can talk to the Lord and tell Him your problems. Sometimes when your friends and your parents and your siblings and your spouses and whoever else that you can find in, sometimes they don't understand what you're going through. And sometimes they're not as compassionate with you as you feel like they need to be, but the Lord will listen to you every time. He'll listen to you every time. Spend some time with Him. Mary did that. Don't be so caught up in work. Don't be so caught up in doing good deeds that you fail to take the time to do the one thing that's needful, which is spending time with the Lord. Because you know what? We're not going to be here long. Do you realize how quickly we got old? Y'all laughing. We got old fast, didn't we? When we were little children going to grade school, it didn't seem like we would. Or before we went to school, I'm seeing my brothers and sisters going off to school, not realizing it. A lot of them didn't want to be there. But I could only wait to go. And then when I got in there, it seemed like it took it forever to get out, didn't it? But then when we got out of high school, it seemed like we got old real fast, didn't we? We won't be here long. Lord, help us. Take some time. Spend some time with the Lord. All right? So our focus cannot be on our works. Can't be on work. You know, some folks, I know some folks got to go to work some Sundays. But when you have an opportunity not to, don't go. Well, I got to get this house clean because I'm having friends come over, so I'm not going to go to church today. So I can get this, all my work done. Don't do that. You're cumbered about with. I'm not saying that it's bad for that. You got to do the work. You got to do the things that you have to do, but you need to come to church. You need to spend some time with the Lord. All right. Let me go on a little further here. Let's go to Hebrews 10. 23. Let us hold fast our profession
of our faith.
Without wavering.
He is faithful
that promised.
Let us consider
one another
to provoke
unto love and to good works.
Not forsaking
the assembling of ourselves
together,
as the manner of some is,
but exhorting
one another, and so much the more
as
you see the day approaching. Do you know we're closer to the Lord coming than any other time in history, period. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I've never been to church and not received something from someone else that I couldn't have gotten myself. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just you see that this person is being faithful to you, faithful to the Lord. And it's encouraging to you. So you get inspired and you're inspiring one another. And you're inspired by others. And so it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Luke 18, verse 18. Luke 18 and 18. Certain ruler asked him, saying,
Good master,
what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
And
Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good?
None is good
save one, that is God.
Thou knowest
the commandments.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not kill.
Do not steal.
Do not bear false witness.
Honor thy father
and thy mother.
And he said,
all these have I kept from my youth up.
Now when Jesus
heard him, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing.
Sell all that thou hast
and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've explained this needle's eye before, and I want to explain it because it's not talking just about a literal needle. It's talking about the gate and the small gate that when the at the major gates of the city, that when the it was after hours and the major gates were closed that the caravan would go through. There was this little walk-in gate that was called the Eye of the Needle. And the camel would have to, they would have to take everything off the camel. He'd have to literally force him to his knees in order to get him through that small space. Now, that what that denotes is that there is going to be a level of humility that a person that is rich, and I don't think very many of us, if any of us, I don't know, some of y'all might have some riches that I don't know about, that we have to really worry about it from that point, from the standpoint that this young man had to worry about it. But let me tell you, anything that we put before God can hinder us from getting into heaven. Doesn't matter what it is. So we cannot focus on our riches. This man was doing some very, we would all have said, and if it were us keeping the books, we would say, yes, you've done all these things. You haven't committed adultery. You didn't steal, kill. All these things you've done from your youth up, you're a pretty good fellow. So let's go in, I'll let you go into heaven. But the Lord knew that man's heart. And do you realize that the Lord knows your heart? He knows my heart. He knows that if there's anything in my heart or in your heart that displaces him in that first place. And if there is something, then what he requires of you to do is to get rid of it. Now, if this man had done like Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? He was a very rich man. And what did he say? When he came to the Lord, he said, Lord, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it to him fourfold. And then what did he say? He said, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And then I'm going to restore with all the rest that's left over to me. And then I can live off of this. You realize that the Lord is not against riches. What the Lord is against, he's against the riches taking place of him. Because the folks that are rich, they have this ability to trust in their uncertain riches. And the Lord tells us not to do this. So our focus cannot be on making money and retaining the money that we've already made. Our focus, the one thing that we must be fixed on, is I've got to go to heaven. Because listen, you cannot take a dime with you. You cannot take any of the money with you. So what's the most important thing? For me to have this focused desire, not for money, not to make more money, not to get more of what I can buy here in this world, but to make certain that I've laid my treasures over on the other side. And when I've done that, that's what's important. Because you know what? None of us know when the Lord's going to take it. None of us. And you know, all the time we're shocked when somebody that we had no expectation, when the Lord takes them, we're shocked at it. And do you know what? We may be one of those people. And so what do I want to do? I want to make certain that I live today as though the Lord is coming for me today. Because that's what's important. It's not so important whether or not I have a whole bunch of money in the bank. I'd like some money in the bank. I'd like some money in the bank. But what's important is whether I've got my treasures over on the other side. And I'm living a life every day that the Lord is pleased with. And I'm not just doing it for a short space of time to get myself out of trouble. I'm doing it because ultimately I know that I'm going to meet the Lord one day. And I want to meet Him in peace. All right? One thing of my desire of the Lord. That's what will I seek after. So I can't focus on all these other things. My focus has to be on God, not on my riches, not on my works, but on the Lord. All right, let's go a little further. Philippians 3, verse 13. You have it, read it for me. Yes, brethren. This is Paul speaking. I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do. I do one thing. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't have it yet. I don't have it all. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Do you know what part of folks' problem is? Is that they don't do this one thing. You cannot focus on the past and go forward. There are a lot of things that we regret in our past life, don't we? And there are a lot of things that can beat us down because of what happened yesterday or yesteryear, whenever that was, back there, and it keeps weighting us down, and we don't make any forward progress. This one thing I do, I'm not going to concentrate and focus on what happened back there. I can't do anything about it. There may be some restitution that the Lord would have us to go back and say, I'm sorry, repay some things, but I can't mend all the broken hearts, and I can't mend all the things that happened back there, so I'm not going to concentrate on that. I'm going to concentrate, and I'm going to focus on the Lord and going forward by the help and the grace of God. The one thing I've got to forget about the past. What tends to happen is as you're going forward for the Lord and endeavoring to do the things that God wants you to do, what the enemy is going to do, and when you leave sin behind, and let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. You leave sin behind, and was there some good times when you're out of sin? Yes. But there are more bad times than there were good. I guarantee it. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there, done that. All right, so what do? I got to forget about all those things. The devil never tells you that all the good times when you partied and you did all the things that you did, and then the next morning how you regretted what you did yesterday. He don't remember. He don't show you those things, does he? But we've got to forget those things that are behind, where you failed, where you skinned your knee, where things happened that you wish didn't happen, and you wish you can go, you wish you can redo it. You can't redo it. Okay. So one thing to do is to forget about it. And you know what else I've learned that folks find hard to do is to forgive themselves. And do you know what the devil can bring to your mind? Things that you did over and over and over. Don't let him do that. That's the devil. What is the benefit of me concentrating and focusing on something that I can do absolutely nothing about? I can't do anything about it. So why should I focus? Why should I go through days and days of regret and feeling bad only if I had only done this, if I only done that? I can't do it. I can't undo it. I didn't only do it. So what do? I go forward by the grace of God, and I forget, Lord, you know I can have a choice. We have what's called selective retention. Have you ever talked to a child, and didn't I tell you such and such? I don't know, I can't remember. Remember that? You did it yourself, didn't you? We have this ability to forget what we want to forget, or at least say we did. We have this ability to forget what we want to forget and remember what we want to remember. And so sometimes we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to forget about my past. Help me to forget about the things where that bother me or the hurts in my past. Help me to forget about the pleasures that I experience in sin. Because really, and I want you to help me to remember the heartache and why I got out of it in the first place. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to live for you. And this one desire that I have now, I'm so focused on it that nothing else matters in my life. All that matters is that I'm focused on making it to heaven, and I will make it by the grace of God. Do you know I believe I'll make it? Because God is gracious, He's merciful, yes He is, but because I know that according to His Word, I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to live according to His Word. And when you do that, your life becomes better. I was talking to my wife. I said, you know what? The best thing that people don't really realize and understand when the Lord first deals with your heart as a child, whenever you come to the age of understanding and accountability, and the Lord deals with your heart to give your heart to Him, to ask you to forsake your sins and live for Him, you know, the best life that you could possibly have is to give your heart to Him that moment and live for Him the rest of your life. Because you know what? A good majority of our lives is fixing some of the major blunders or having to deal with some of the major blunders of our past. I'm not going to do this, but if we were to ask, can you name three major things that you would do different in your life if you had it to do all over again? Yeah, you can. One thing I would do, I would have given my heart and I'd live to the Lord sooner and I'd live more serious. But you know what? I can't go back. So I have to forget those things which are behind and I press forward to those things which are before. And I give my heart to Him to the fullest extent that I can right now. So, our focus can't be on our past. Acts 22 and 46, I'm almost finished. Verse 46. There, Acts 2 and 46.
And they?
Yes?
Continuing daily with one accord in the temple.
They're continuing daily with one accord in the temple.
And breaking bread from house to house.
Breaking bread from house to house.
Eat their meat.
With gladness.
Singleness of heart.
They were serving the Lord. Gladness and singleness of heart, praising God.
And having favor with
all the people.
And the Lord added to the church daily.
Such as should be saved. Do you know what? I believe that if we could get a hold of this and serve the Lord with singleness of heart, I'm not double-minded, not double-hearted, that there's something that is vying for my affections, but I have a single heart and a single desire toward the Lord. And I believe the Lord could do even more with us. Lord, help us to do that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. I want us to read in closing Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is focused, Lord. I'm focused on You. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. All right. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So I want to encourage us today, whatever it is that you're going through, all the peripheral things, the things that are on the side, the things that you tend to grab your attention, and we have the ability to take our focus off of one thing and put it on something else, and our focus changes from time to time. Things that were very, very important to us 10 years ago or even last week may not be important to us today because of the circumstances and the things that have changed and circumstances have changed. So now there are some things that are important, but one thing that never should take second place in our list of importance is the Lord. Nothing. Nothing should be before Him. So I want to encourage us. Maybe you're dealing with some things that were, you know, when we were 25 years old, there were things that were important then that are not important to us now. When we were things last year that were important to us then that are not important to us now. And now our focus is on something else. But I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage everyone. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, today there is not a better day than today for you to make that known. All you have to do is simple. Pray. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask, Lord, I don't want the sins that I've committed. I'm sorry for them. And the Lord will change your heart. He's done it for me. He's done it for many of us, hasn't He? All right? And the thing is, those that are saved, what I want to encourage you is stay focused. Have a focused desire. Don't let the things that are happening around you, the legitimate things, don't put your focus on your work. Don't put your focus on your money. Don't put your focus on your past. Don't put your focus on the things that are happening around us. Put your focus on God and keep it there. Pray for me. Let us stand.